Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 27th of October. I'm your host, Paul White. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We are right around, well, we're in the conduct of the Lord's Supper, and we're around the 17th verse on down through, we'll try to get down around 22 today. We've been sort of giving you an overview of Paul's thoughts about communion and the Lord's Supper and the factions, the divisions that have arisen because of the situation with the famine in Corinth and those who have food versus those who do not. So Paul's trying to get rid of the divisions and the factions. And he makes the statement in verse 20, "Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper." And the greater context tells us that Paul is not saying you shouldn't commune in public. You shouldn't have communion in public. In fact, the previous chapter, chapter 10, "Though we're many, we're one bread, we're one body. We partake of one bread. We have a cup of blessing, we bless as that. That's called communion. We have the bread that we break. That's the communion of the body." And you can't commune one with another without being together in one way or the other. So Paul's statement of 1 Corinthians 11:20, when you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. It is that we, when you come together to partake of communion, but do it in a way in which 21 helps to really explain this. In eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one's hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. So the Lord's Supper was not about coming together to eat dinner. Though there was provision of, if you didn't have, you were still allowed to come to the Lord's Supper. That's what we talked about yesterday. There was still provision allowed. You know, we went, come in and share. But take care of the eating issue at home. Take care of the drinking issue at home. When we come together in one place as a body of believers, it's not to partake of the Lord's Supper. I think we should probably consider that Paul marks a difference between coming together to worship as a church and learn the Word and encounter the Holy Spirit through community versus eating the Lord's Supper. It seems as if they always broke bread together, but it wasn't always necessarily a massive meal. And so Paul is trying to get rid of this problem. This is almost an odd problem for us because we don't have this issue to the extent that we have a lot of people in our church that are starving. We have more people overweight now on planet Earth than we do in poverty. This has never happened, by the way, in the history of the planet. We've never been had a greater percentage of the population overweight than in poverty. And we mock that. We make fun of it and go, well, people have too much and they're eating too much. They're not taking care of themselves, et cetera, et cetera. And probably all of those things are true. But why is it that we only point out the negative? We never point out the positive, which is if you live in a society where more people are overweight than are underfed, then it is evidence of extreme, I was going to say goodness, but it's not really the word. It's evidence of extreme prosperity. Let's put it that way. The world that Paul's talking about is not that world. You had a huge disparage between the wealthy and the poor. And you had, odds are, a greater population in your assembly is going to be hungry than is going to be overfed. And so the division is stark. We don't even have the division, really. We live in a culture where food is so abundant, it's cheap. I'm not saying it's cheap to eat the healthiest, but you won't die of starvation, even if you just have a little bit of money, and especially in the American culture. And so we don't see this as a division when we come together to partake of the meal together. We don't see this division like, oh, some of these people, they really eat well, and then this guy over here never gets to eat, and there's this division. So in that respect, I don't think this applies to us. And I don't mean I'm not insinuating we kick it out. I'm not insinuating it's not important, but it doesn't apply in the same way that it applied to them. But whereas there's always a primary way to see text, there's also a secondary way to see a text. And so if the primary way doesn't really apply so much to us because of our condition and our time, then maybe the secondary will speak to us. So primarily, we don't have really the issue with the disparaging difference in the church, the divisions between those who have a lot to eat and those who don't have a lot to eat. But we might have some form of divisions economically in the way that people are treated and in the way people are made to feel. And the New Testament deals with this. We're told in the New Testament not to give, say, preferential seating in the church to people who had versus those who had not. And one of the reasons that even has to be brought up in the early church is because that division was showing itself. Do we have that in the church? Well, unfortunately, in some respects, we do. And it needs to go as well. Let's hit one phrase here in regards to the actual text from the Greek that will kind of be the ending point for us today. Verse 21, in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. This literally means what you think it means. It's the Greek word for drunk or drunken. There's only one spot in the New Testament where it's not used in relation to alcohol, but even there, it's a metaphor for drunkenness, and that's in Revelation when the whore of Babylon is drunk on the blood of the saints. But the word is the same. It's literally to be intoxicated. So Paul is saying, listen, you're getting started at home and then carrying it on over into the communion. Communion was for more than this, than for us to just eat and drink. Why do I bring that up? Because, you know, there's always that underlying debate with people as to whether or not the wine of the Bible was intoxicating. The word drunk means what you think it means. They were drinking prior to the communion ceremony to the point that they were getting drunk, and you could say getting drunk on communion wine. This was a problem. Not much of a problem for most of us for most of my church history, because we didn't use actual wine, and therefore we didn't get too into statements like 1 Corinthians 11:21. Don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? I don't praise you in this. And so this ends this segment for Paul. Now, instructions on the Lord's Supper coming up in verse 23. We'll go to work there with Paul tomorrow. See you then.